On the KSRO Live Line with us is Aaron Wren. He is a senior fellow on infrastructure and transportation at the Manhattan Institute. Aaron, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me on.
So first of all, infrastructure is generally, it's where, you know, bipartisanly, people generally get together and start singing Kumbaya because it's something everybody wants. Everybody, regardless of party affiliation, is interested in providing to their particular states. And so we have the Trump infrastructure plan just out yesterday. Number one, there seems to be across party lines a feeling that there's not enough money here.
Well, President Trump is taking a pledge from his page from his real estate playbook, where he's trying to put in a small amount, comparatively, of federal money in order to leverage a lot more outside money from states, localities, and potentially even from private sources. So he's proposing to put $200 million federal dollars in, hoping that there will be $1.3 trillion of additional money invested. That's a little bit different than what's historically been done. If we look at highway funding historically, for example, the federal government paid for about 80% of projects. With these, he's looking at the government paying maybe 20% of projects. So essentially, it's rewriting the relationship between states and federal governments in terms of financing.
Yeah, $200 million, Aaron, that's like one bridge repair, isn't it? I mean, you know, when you think about it,
well,
maybe two bridge repairs.
When you start thinking about the, 50 states and not just highways and bridges, but also the other kinds of infrastructure that we need, the one thing that this plan really has going for it that I have been pushing for a long time is to think about infrastructure more broadly than just highways and bridges. It includes things like sewer and water systems, which are need billions of dollars in upgrades in many parts of the country. It can include flood control, electric utilities, other things. We need to think much more broadly about our infrastructure. But the more that broadly we cast that net, the less the distance a given pot of money will go.
Well, there are so many projects, as you said, that are involved with underneath the infrastructure umbrella, and among them, high-speed rail systems. That's one. The other discrepancy, or certainly difference, in the Trump plan, it appears, is the difference between money and commitment going to red states when you compare them with money going to blue states. We live here in California, and it seems like there's a real difference in terms of what's being paid attention to here.
Well, half of the money in the Trump's plan of the federal dollars would go to an incentive matching program that the states could apply for and could be applied flexibly to many different sorts of projects. So blue states like California that may want to focus more on transit, that would be an eligible project. Red states might prefer more on highways, or maybe some of the Rust Belt states might prefer sewer upgrades. So one advantage of this is it does let the states and localities make proposals across a variety of things. So I don't see it per se disadvantaging blue states. It tries, in a sense, to let different states do what they want to do in accordance with their own kind of political preferences.
So locally speaking, our county supervisors, for example, can put together a plan about why Sonoma County needs a particular chunk of that money. Boy, I would not like to be the person who is in charge of reading all of those proposals and requests.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's interesting. There's kind of two countervailing things going on. One is that the proposals developed by localities or states do give much more flexibility about what to do. On the other hand, the federal government will still be picking which ones win.
Yeah.
So in a sense, the feds do get the final say on projects, which is actually in some respects, although a lot of the funding, like around highways and transit, are much more rigid in terms of the category, what they can be used on, states can pretty much spend it how they want. Whereas this, the federal government's going to be picking it, and it looks like their criteria is supposed to be very heavily driven on how much new revenue these states and local governments are going to be bringing to the table. So if you wanted to apply in Sonoma County for that money, then you would need to raise some amount of local money, essentially, as the match for it, which I know has been discussed there in previous elections and such.
Yeah, well, it's a big nut to crack. There's no question about that. What part of Trump's business mindset comes into play here?
Well, definitely the idea of trying to leverage other people's money. He's always boasted in his, going back to his book, Art of the Deal, of how much little money he put into some of these real estate projects that he did. And he's trying to bring that mindset here as, you know, what's kind of the, you know, a small amount I can put in order to get all of this other money. Whether it will work in an infrastructure context, we will see.
It seems like in years past, Aaron, that when a new, you know, infrastructure plan is put into place by really any administration, you know, as I said, there is sort of across the board, you know, jubilation on many levels. Wall Street seems to be happy about it. Certainly the business community overall seems to be happy about it. And that just doesn't seem to be, you know, the reigning emotion after this plan was revealed.
Well, if you go back and look at the previous highway bill reauthorization, you know, that was quite an ordeal as well. One of the challenges is that infrastructure has been becoming more politicized because there are sort of red state and blue state differences in priorities. People in blue states much more want to direct funding towards transit or bike lane projects, things of that nature, and put more restrictions on road funding, and red states want to do the opposite. So there's always a lot of fighting over that, and it was actually quite an ordeal to get to kind of even just reauthorize some of the programs that we previously had. So the politics have kind of been breaking down on a lot of issues over the years. And this is one where there just are increasingly rival visions over what kind of infrastructure we ought to have in the future with climate change and things of that nature. So I would expect more politicization of it.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. And in fact, it already is. Some of the criticism stems from the belief that that with money earmarked for rural areas in particular, as opposed to most urban areas, that it seems like this plan will have the most benefit for the least amount of people.
There are $50 billion that would supposedly go to rural areas, a lot of which would be block grants to the state. I've actually written that this is one of the things that concerns me, because the go-to playbook for too many governors for rural areas that are suffering from decline is to promise them a brand new four-lane road.
Yeah.
And that just does not really spur economic development. Maybe you'll get a few gas stations and the likes at exits. But the problems of rural areas are hard. They don't necessarily have a lot of answers. And so, yes, a lot of money does get spent on rural roads. That's where a lot of these rural roads to nowhere are. There are a lot of rural needs, though. If it went towards rural broadband and providing equity there, if it went towards some of these rural wastewater systems, there are rural needs. Rural areas should be participating in an infrastructure plan, but something that could easily be siphoned off to highways that aren't really needed is something I would be concerned with if this thing passed.
It's still stunning to me that there are vast areas across this country that don't have internet access. I mean, in 2018, it's still remarkable that that's so.
Yes, well, one of them is the house I grew up in. I grew up in a rural area. My mother does not have internet. All she could get was dial-up, and dial-up just doesn't even work anymore.
Oh, my gosh, that would be tough.
So it's a place where you don't even have internet, and so I'm painfully aware of that every time I go visit.
Well, maybe things will be looking up for you and your mom, at least through this new infrastructure plan. Aaron, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate your input, and look forward to more of it as we sort of wade through the actualities of this plan. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.